one that's quick to repent. It's going to take an army that's on fire to see the lost saved and to see the broken healed, the nameless ones remembered. One that counts everything as rubbish, everything. Someone who is willing, someone who says yes. The Lord, He doesn't need your gifts. He doesn't need your abilities. He doesn't need your talents. He doesn't even need your words. He needs your heart that says yes. And can you imagine that day where we're on eternity's shores and we see the Master, we see our Lord, we see our Savior, our best friend, and know that those around us that we led to Jesus, those that we prayed for, our brothers and sisters, are all in heaven together as a family, worshiping the King of Kings for all of eternity. So, Father, we just submit ourselves to You. We consecrate ourselves to You, Jesus. And we repent, Father, for hearts that prefer ourselves first before others, God. Hearts that are offended easily, we repent. Hearts that are unwilling to surrender, we repent. And we say, have Your way, Jesus. You're so trustworthy, God. You're so worthy. You are the worthy one, Jesus. I see Your face in every sunrise. The colors of the morning are inside of Your eyes. The world awakens in the light of the day. Fire for You. I want to be one who goes. I want to be Your hands and Your feet, Jesus. I will be one as an act of obedience, of taking that step with Your will, saying, I will be one. I will be one. You're beautiful.
Yes, Lord. Oh, beautiful one, Your eyes are on us. Oh, beautiful one. Oh, beautiful one. You are majestic. You are beautiful. How? Thank You for Your eyes. Thank You for Your eyes. Thank You for Your eyes. Your eyes. Just allow Him access to the deepest places of your heart right now. Access. I just see walls coming down. Oh. As He breathes on each one of us. Cue. Just take us away. Take us away. Thank You for the romance. Thank You for the dance. Ah. Love You. We love You. We love you. We love you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for restored hope. Thank you for restoration of dreams. Thank you for increased and insatiable appetites for you in this house. Thank you that our hunger level is rising. Thank you, Lord, for real consecration, not half-hearted, for real consecration to you, to live for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, that this would be the year that we would actually walk in the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, that we would be in the Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That we would mount up on wings of eagles, and that we would run and not be weary, and walk and not faint, because there's no temptation known to man that you've not made a way of escape. None. That's amazing. What a promise. Thank you. Thank you that we run with great endurance this race that we're on, race that we're in, with great patience and faith, trusting you, loving you, becoming so willing to hear your promptings, to humble ourselves and go lower. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In this holy hush, I believe the Lord is wanting to extract areas of dishonesty and deceit. Those are the two things I'm hearing. Extract, thank you, Jesus. Extract away. We give you the right. We repent. We repent. We repent. Thank you for making the way open, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just receive your grace right now. Just an increase in great grace right now. To overcome, to walk through, to not give in to the temptations, to walk through the trials and not be overcome, overwhelmed, to not be burned by the fire or overwhelmed by the water. The great grace is here. Great grace, the great grace. Let's lean in right now. Yeah. Let's lean into that great grace being released. It's like a blanket of snow over us right now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is where the more is. This is where the more is. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, give us a passion for souls, that we would cry out day and night. And where we've not had a passion for souls, that we would say, forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Stir up that hunger and that desire. For this is the eternal business to which we are called, to cry out day and night for the justice of the King to be released, which would bring his righteousness on this earth, which would bring many into the kingdom of heaven. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord, right now. Speak to our hearts, Lord, about what really, really is on your heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the increase. As Pastor Bill sang a song last week that he had written, a sonnet to his son, I'm reminded this morning that Adam and Eve gave in to the tempter, and they gave in to the one who would steal, kill, and destroy, and that they waited through their lives and contended for restoration. And yet in this generation, we see babies all over the world just losing their lives, and people not understanding that it's the thief who is stealing, killing, and destroying, yet again, in the garden, in the womb. So, Lord, we offer you the garden of our hearts to be tilled and cultivated and rained upon right now. And that the rain that's coming right now, the rain of your presence right now, this end time rain that you're releasing all over the world, that would stir us up, that our hearts would rise up and say, count me in, I'm all in. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. You're so beautiful. May the words that are shared beyond this, Lord, just enhance your already beautiful and apparent and obvious presence. Thank you. Thank you that you're never too busy for us. Forgive us when we're too busy for you, for what's on your heart. Too busy. Forgive us. Show us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jamie was obedient to the Spirit of God inviting us to come up. Heard the same thing. I was standing in the back, listening, receiving, worshiping, contending. And the words that came out of her mouth 100% echoed what I was hearing. And what the Lord wanted was very intentional about releasing over us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's time for us to rise, church. It's time for us to rise and say yes. Say yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd like to show you a few pictures while we're still receiving up, that if Andy could put them up. I think you'll be excited about this. Just take a look up there. That is Caleb Michael Wheeler, born this morning at 4:37. Just a few hours ago. Welcome, little Caleb. So, I think this little guy's going to, look at that. Who does he look like? Few people we know, huh? Pastor Bill. Look at that. David, Daniel, Caleb. My goodness. My three sons. There we go. And I think this little one's just going to be a watchman on the wall. He loves all-nighters. So we were with him all night. And I had the privilege, and my mother, their mother, Joe's mom, to sit front and center and watch the delivery, watch the birth. It was the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. It was the most spectacular miracle I've ever witnessed. It was so amazing. So amazing. I'll never forget it. It was glorious. So we welcome you, little Caleb Michael, and the other little ones being formed right now. We welcome you to come forth in due time. Oh, amen. I think we need a bigger church. I don't know. Where are you putting all these kids? That exciting? Yeah. That's little Caleb. Definitely not a girl. Hey, so good. All right. Hi. Sure. Helping. You know, there's something special about waiting for something to happen. And when we went over, we were invited to come, which was very cool. Over to the hospital and wait. I loved it. It's like, wow, what a privilege to wait. And he just stayed in there a long time. And when he was born and he looked around, it just reminded me of the power of our God and the amazing creative abilities of our God. There is nothing too hard for him, nothing too strong, nothing too big, nothing. And he says, just be like this little guy, Caleb, one with a different spirit. Amen? All right. Wow. We have a few people missing today, but I love the ones who are here and the ones who are missing. So if the children, are they released? They're already gone? They're already gone. Oh, okay. That's probably why. All right. Oh, what powerful worship. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I'm actually going to go up there because there's a little bit more light, I think. And take my water.
Yes, thank you.
Andy, were you able to get that video clip up? Were you? Okay, is everybody back from Kingdom Land? Okay, watch this. This is so cool. It's just short. Now, this is in the newspaper. Okay. Now, watch this. This is the ultimate gun control.
Home invasion suspect. Police arrested 24-year-old Derek Lee after they say he tried to rob a group of 15 women who were at a jewelry party. The women say Lee left after the group started chanting the name Jesus. Channel 4's Tarek Minor has the wild story from Lake City.
I've just always believed in God's word, and he says that he's there to protect us in times of trouble.
Jackie Hagler put her faith into action Friday night when police say armed robber Derek Lee broke into her house wearing a ski mask and a bandana. Hagler says 15 women gathered for a jewelry party, and Lee walked in through an open door. When he threatened to shoot, Hagler says she proclaimed something else.
I just stood up and I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house now. And he said, I'm going to shoot someone. And I said it again real boldly. I said, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house. And everybody started chanting, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He just did a quick scan of the room, turned around, and ran out the door as fast as he could go.
It's the reason why Hagler says she has a lot to be thankful for. We caught up with her at the Christ Community Church for a special Sunday service. Her jeweler, Afton Brown, is also amazed at the outcome. She retreated to another room when Lee pulled a gun.
As I was backing out, that's when I heard Jackie say, get out of my house in the name of Jesus. And then as I was kind of sneaking into a closet to call 911, I just heard all the ladies just chanting and screaming, Jesus, Jesus, get out in the name of Jesus, Jesus.
Shortly after the suspect Lee was literally run out of his house here in Lake City, he tried to rob another woman at an ATM. According to police, he was identified shortly after that and arrested. Hagler and others say that someone bigger than them is trying to get a message to Lee.
Hopefully we'll get a message, and you know, hopefully it's a story that can be turned into good one day, and hopefully he'll have a testimony.
I have forgiven him. I'm praying for his salvation. I'm hoping that this situation will lead him to trust the Lord too and to turn his life around.
In Lake City, I'm Tarek Minor, Channel 4, the local station.
Fire destroys a home on Fulton Road in Fort Caroline.
Yes. Thank you, Lord. I love it. Isn't that good? But you know, man, we try to call on the name of Jesus because we're afraid. And fear triggers others' fears. We don't know what will happen. When we step out in boldness, not in fear, but in boldness, the devil has no choice. We have to remember those things. There's so many accounts in our scriptures that we read and study and love and learn about the anointing and the power that's released over the kingdom believers of that day, meant to encourage us, but also be a strength for us in this day. There was an outpouring of the Spirit of God in Acts, as you know, in the first Pentecost. And there's a great awakening that's upon us. And the great awakening has already erupted around the world. Many will say we're in the very beginning stages of that. But I believe we can be awakened, or we can be in the process of being awakened. Where do you stand? Would you like to be seen by God as being fully awakened? Or would you like to be seen by God as one that he knows can be fully awakened? I was thinking about that, and I said, Lord, am I really incredibly crazy in love with you? Is your face, your beauty, your majesty, all that really ultimately matters, irregardless of the things that come my way? Is it true? Those are the questions that we ask ourselves. And the Lord says, oh, I love you. You're in process. Okay, I'm being awakened like a little flower. That's nice. But I will tell you the truth that the devil highly fears those who are awakened to the goodness of God, the place in the Spirit that has been carved out already for his believers, and he's ready to do more. So as we contend for him, we're contending for a deeper place in the Spirit for our awakening, if you will. He wants us to partner with those who are already awakened. And he knows that we will run into resistance as we have that desire to partner. And maybe the resistance is in us, or maybe in the others around us. But there will be resistance because that's what happens when we live as human beings. He says, I'm going to turn you into supernatural crazies because that's really how I see you. I am going to do that because I am the Lord of hosts. That's my job. That's my desire. Look, let me show you how big I am. How about a birth of a newborn baby right up in your face, literally? So how big do you think I am? Wow. An amazing, amazing reminder for me personally, as that was my portion this morning. But golly, I just think of the vastness of our God, and talking about him is just not good enough anymore. Not that we're saying that that's what's happening here, but I believe the Lord is saying, I have awakened you to new life. I have awakened you to so many things. I have awakened you to be able to be so insatiable. Your desires would be insatiable for me, for my face. So simple. But yet the Lord is saying, in this era, in this season, I am looking for those who will see me as beautiful and will press in and see the beauty of my face and my eyes and my arms. I am looking, I am looking, I am looking. And we may have to press through a few snowstorms, press through a few of our schedules, press through some things that we think are extremely vital and important, but yet don't necessarily carry the same weight as what he's really speaking to us about. And we can wrestle and argue and excuse and come to all kinds of decisions with ourselves, for ourselves, with others, for ourselves. And the Lord says, you really can, because I still love you and I see you as beautiful, but I am looking for those who desire me in the fullness, that they would be so awakened that absolutely nothing would stop them, that there would not be a fear, a hindrance, a jealousy, an excuse, a selfish ambition, or rebellious thought that would even last. It's like, wow. I was speaking to Pastor Jose this week, and he was laughing. He was intoxicated in the presence of God, and I told him that so many from his frontline family love him, love Linda. And he said to me, thank you so much. Please extend my gratitude to all who wrote cards or notes or something. We did send that out this week. And those of you who also donated to bless him, bless the family, help pay for funeral costs and whatever else would happen. And he was laughing. He says, oh, he says, so many people don't understand me. They just don't understand me. But I told the Lord at the beginning, before his son died, I told the Lord at the beginning of 2013, I just want to be in the Spirit. I want to live in the Spirit. That's what I want. And MP, you would not believe what's happened since then. I said, oh, we've known a few things. God is so cool. He really honors our heart's cry when it's about Him. When it's not about Him, ultimately, He gives us our choices. But when He tells us to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and that all these things will be added unto you, He's saying there's a way for my favor to be released, my increased favor on your life, for your business, without striving, for your families. Not saying there won't be labor, no pun intended. There won't be labor in our love for our families, but there won't be the striving, that intensity that pulls us down. It won't be there. Oh my. We start to look at things differently. We begin to look at our circumstances actually differently. We might have a whole plague trying to come against us. And we will look at things differently. Like, wow, that doesn't feel so swell. I really am not liking this. But I'm choosing to rise above the storm with my eagle eye, looking down and not contending in the way that the world would contend during a particular storm. I might even be able to use my authority that you've given me, Jesus, over the weather patterns. I wonder if that really works. Let me try. And for those of us who have and have seen results, that's pretty cool. I once saw a funnel cloud over in Belden Village, over Belpar, right above our head years ago, standing out in the parking lot, and I was incensed. I was angry. I said, that is ridiculous, and that's enough, and rose up similarly to the lady on the film, on the video, and commanded that sucker to leave now. And it immediately moved quickly. I said, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You really are that big. You mean what you say. Doggone it. How about that? God is saying, let's contend for Him. Really contend for Him in these days. And do you know what? As we do, when we really contend for Him, we will see the obvious distractions more readily. We will see when the enemy tries to pull us away from prayer or fasting, our secret weapons in the kingdom. We will see it. We will recognize it and say, wow, my flesh is making excuses, but my spirit is saying, what are you doing? And at least in that place of debate, even if it's momentary, we can stop and laugh and say, ha-ha, my spirit is rising over my flesh because my flesh was crucified at the cross. Didn't we learn that in freedom class this last month? My flesh was crucified at the cross. My flesh. You mean that ugly thing that I'm always dealing with? Well, it was crucified. So our death already took place upon salvation. Oh my gosh, that's annoying. Why do I struggle? Because I'm human. No, I struggle because I'm not aware of what really has been done at the cross. That's the reason I struggle. I'm not fully aware. I don't have a working awareness, if you will, a working reality of what that looks like in that particular situation. Oh, so the Lord wants to awaken us to the working realities or the realistic place of supernatural ability and place in the Spirit that we have. He wants to awaken us, and that's what He's doing more and more. And I'm so encouraged. Thank you, Jamie and team, for drawing people up front. Thank you for that. Thank you for the opportunity to connect corporately. That's one of the greatest joys of my life, to connect corporately here and with others around the world who are awakened. You don't care about people who are awakening? Of course I do. That's why the passion for souls is rising. And I believe that passion for souls is rising in this place. We will begin to see that the actions that we take can actually affect someone who is not as awakened as we are. And so we will choose to be more awakened because what we do may have a positive effect and influence on somebody else. And that will help us as we weigh our decisions of what we do, what we decide to do, what our choices will be. And it's like, wow, I'm learning these things. And as I don't necessarily see those things right away, I will be brought into a greater place of having an opportunity to see those things again. But unfortunately, the ones who were to benefit from the better choice that we would make didn't receive that benefit. I'm encouraging you, I encouraged you last week, that when we receive, which I'm trusting will be this week, and the Relentless Pursuit CDs and DVDs, I'm encouraging you to get a copy for yourself. Put it in your budget. I'm encouraging you. I'm so encouraged when I listen and I watch what I can right now. And I remember, I am so encouraged about what the Lord released last fall over us, to awaken us to another place. And so there's a reason why it's important to remember those things. Those things are not just things. They are there to encourage us so that we don't fall back, or that we don't stumble, or that we aren't used to cause somebody else to stumble. Very important for us to be able to take the gospel of the kingdom to the four corners of the earth. I love Jamie's call coming up. I loved it. Thank you, Jesus, that we are coming up as consecrated ones. Again, we had an opportunity last week to consecrate ourselves. But you see, that consecration is meant by the Lord to take us into a deeper, deeper place. Oops. Sorry. Oh, it's okay. Thank you. Well, you can pick them up if you want. Thank you, Becca. I'm not going to use them. God bless you, sweetie. That's so nice. I was asking the Lord after he showed me this clip. Thank you, hon. This video on Tuesday. I was going to show it on Tuesday, and it wasn't the timing. I don't want to show it because I planned it for Tuesday. It's not the timing, so it's not anointed for that day. So therefore, I don't. That's my desire anyway. But the Lord brought back to me very strongly this weekend this book. And I'm not pushing a book. What I am suggesting, though, is that we revisit something that the Lord has already deposited in us as part of our awakening. And that is a great, great desire to fast and to pray. This is a 40-day devotional, actually, for prayer and fasting. And it's written in a different format than the Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. But I sat throughout the weekend, and I can't tell you I read every word, but I know it's in the book. But I read a lot of, most of it, almost every word, actually. Just in between, at the kitchen sink or wherever I was and what I was doing in between things. And I was reminded again of the great, great call on this church as a house of prayer. Every church is to be a house of prayer. Do you know that? And this place is a house of prayer. Every gathering is a place where the Lord says, I am calling you to fast and pray, but I really am looking for the awakening in your life to desire to do that. But as we feast on his eyes, he will give us the desire to do that. So when we aren't fasting and praying, which is a mandate from God for obedience sake, then something's missing. So if we have backed up in that realm, or we've decided, yeah, I really can't do that, then I would say that there's probably a disconnect somewhere else. And many of us might be missing some really big breakthroughs that can come through prayer and fasting. Our understanding, our biblical understanding of the benefits of prayer and fasting need to be, need to be awakened or reawakened in us in this season. Intercession was spoken about as well as we could, as good as we could, actually, at Freedom Cry, as we felt the Lord leading us, and we had intercession tables back here. It was not a show because, well, that's what people do if they want to get into human trafficking from a truly biblical justice perspective. It was just a token. No, it was not. It was those were opportunities for us to be able to say, Lord, I honor you in this area, and I do want to see your justice released. I want to see your righteousness established. I want to see your lordship over the four corners of the earth, wherever I am and whatever influence I can have. I'm really ready to step into that. I want to do that, Lord. Well, as part of that, the Lord gives us opportunities to determine how best we can connect with him through our patterns in Scripture. He'll give us the entire book of the Bible. The entire Bible is just filled with those who have warred and fought the good fight. And they have prayed and they have fasted and they have stood, Jesus being our ultimate faster, prayer, and abolitionist and intercessor. He knew the keys. He knew how to respond to his Father. He knew how to listen to his Father's heart, know what his Father was saying and doing, and then doing it from a place of true and pure rest and not striving. There was no judgment in him. There was no fear in him. But he was filled with perfect love. And that perfect love was maturing in him. Who can figure? It's Jesus. God is he's so fun, isn't he? He's saying, if you could learn from some of the things that are being released here in the most effective and efficient way possible, that you would think about what I'm saying and then say, yes, that's for me, and then meditate day and night on what I'm doing and saying, which would be me, which would be what my heart is saying right now, you will take a step up to another place in the Spirit. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse, or as I affectionately have spoken in the past year or two, we have decided that we're going to be winners and secretariats, and we're busting through that gate calling something the Lord, and it's not, and the gate's not open. And then we just have an opportunity to try that again. And God says, you're welcome to do that because those are processes, yes, but I'm telling you, there's a better way. And so in 2013, if we are determined that this is truly going to be a better way for me, it will spill out into a better way for this church. It has to. It's a better way for PMP or PB is a better way here. A better way for Rebecca or Amber is a better way here for me, for Pastor Bill. We're all part of this. So if we have a struggle or a major trial, or a fire, we know how to go through that effectively. And the Lord says, you know, you received a word about identity theft. I don't know if that was last time I preached or two times ago, whenever it was. But the identity theft, that the enemy's job, he does it quite well, actually, that he has, is to try to pull out who we really, really believe that we are. He can't pull out who we are. He pulls out, or effectively, who we believe that we are to the Lord. And so that's identity theft. That's his job, and he does a really good job at it. I mean, kudos to you, enemy, because you try and you win most of the time with us. But those of us who decide, you're not on my watch, are you going to steal my identity or my revelation or keep me from receiving the revelation of my identity? No. No, and no. In other words, in the name of Jesus, get out of my house, and this is my house. Isn't that fun? I love that about God. He's just very intentional about us in those particular areas, and he's quite clear. He says, honey, if you think that your job is just, that's just taking up everything in your life, and that's where your affection is, and that's where most of your attention is, he will get your attention at some point, and people will continue to ask and try to, you know, work with you and me together. But I'm telling you, the Lord, He says, you can stay at the place that you are as long as you want. But again, your choices will affect others around you. So we don't want to have this. We want to have a place where there's no lid, that we will come to a place where we would say, anything that I do, that if Michelle would say, any choice I make, Lord, before I call it kingdom, how does that affect what you are saying and what you are doing right here and now? I don't care what it looks like. She's a lawyer. She has important things to do. But she's called to do the same thing with every choice. And how will her choice affect? That's the ultimate love, actually, when we think of someone else before what makes perfect sense to us. It really is. And that, because that's what Jesus did. Oh. You all know Luke chapter 3 and Luke chapter 4, don't you? So let's turn there. And I'm going to pull out my big trusty King James Bible because I don't have my regular Bible right now. So I'm going to get my brick out that some of you affectionately refer to. And so let's look at Luke 3 and 4. Oh, I'm so excited today. Isn't Caleb just the most darling little guy? Oh, all you people here are going to just love this little boy and his spiritual family, of course you are, and his natural family, and some are here. Oh boy, that gives us 7 grandsons and 1 granddaughter. Oh my. 5 right around this area that we get to hang out with a lot. 6. Did I say that wrong? Am I right? 5. No, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. But there's 6. There's 8 that we have. That's it. 7 grandsons, 1 granddaughter. It's 8. Okay, I said it better. Okay. We have 2 that are out west that we don't see very often. But the ones you've seen, most of the ones that are around here. So Luke 4, 3 and 4. Luke chapter 3 and Luke chapter 4. Most of you know that Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And most of you know in Luke chapter 3 and chapter 4 that he went in to the desert full of the Holy Spirit because he had just been baptized. There are many in here who may be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you are walking absolutely powerless. Completely. What? Yes. I'm not saying Jesus walked powerlessly, but he was full of the Holy Spirit. But he came out of that desert walking in the power of the Spirit. Let's just take a look at that. That's our little guy over there. In chapter 3, in verse 38, it says, Chapter 4, verse 1 says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Okay, by invitation. And then in the very end of the chapter, which was verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Isn't that amazing? So he was baptized in the Spirit. He was anointed by the Spirit, but there's something that he went through that Pastor Bill referred to last week in his message. But I believe that God wants to also awaken us again. Last week was a new beginning, but I believe he wants to awaken us again into what contending for that power really looks like. Because in this day and age, if we don't have power, we could become full of ourselves very quickly. Or full of something else very quickly. Because we would think, I am anointed, I am full of the Spirit, and I'm trying. Very, very nice words. But I'm trying is a trigger for the enemy, actually, because he wants people who are just trying. All right? The Lord wants us to get to the place where our identity is sure so that we can contend for greater things. And the enemy knew that, to some degree, what the price was going to be on Jesus' head, to some degree. So he pulled out all his guns, he thought, and he shot Jesus with the word. He shot Jesus with many temptations, all temptations. But again, Jesus shot him down because he's Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, gaining in power. Excuse me. And when he was fasting, as our model is fasting for 40 days, Scripture does not say that he went without water. The Scripture says he went without food. And so we do see the model of Jesus. And yes, there are other fasts. There are different ways of looking at fasting. But if we don't understand really what the significance will be, we will end up wanting to short-circuit things because it's easier that way. We will do that, potentially, and call it Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit pulls us into a place of fasting and prayer, of intercession, he wants to define for us what is best for a particular situation and what is best for us. But the problem can be that we get into a very mainstream mode, that we decide this is what we're going to do because, frankly, it's easier. And that's not a good place to be. And it doesn't mean that one fast is better than another. But there is something to be said about the scriptural examples that are given. I encourage you to read this book and The Hidden Power of Fasting. I encourage you to read them. They're not the only books around, but they have been very helpful in this body because they're very practical. But they also get to the heart behind why did Jesus fast and why did he pray? And just to remind us of what our mandate is. When we have a call for intercession, which, you know, you know how I am. It's like, come on, guys, let's rally together. Let's even look ahead and see what our work schedule will be and take off that Friday or Saturday or whatever it would be. Let's think in a different place. Let's think from a different place. Let's consider things that we've not considered in 2013. Let's do things differently in 2013 that we did in 2012. You see, the Lord is wanting to establish in us the ability that Jesus had. When he told us that we're going to do greater works, he wants us to know what that looks like. So if we say, well, I'm going to go raise the dead, okay, how is your prayer life? How is your fasting life? Where is your passion for souls? I heard someone on Facebook say, and this is a leader in the making, and a younger leader in the making, and I cringed because I thought, who made you Holy Spirit? A lovely person. But because of a decision that this person was making about this person's family life and children, which was a good decision for her, she made a blanket statement about people basically listening to the call of God on their life and responding to that based on what they thought would work for them. And I didn't appreciate it. I thought, oh, well, you're immature. Because when the Holy Spirit starts leading, then the Holy Spirit and really getting our attention, then we become fireballs in his hand. Is it good to stay home with your children and raise your children? Yes, that is not my point. I did that myself. But I was crazy staying home with my children. Crazy. I wasn't in another land. I was in this country, but I was crazy. My point is this, that for us to really hear the Holy Spirit in the craziest ways, the craziest places, he's saying there's going to be a cost that each one of us needs to decide if we want to pay that cost or price, because it's going to look different than it did in 2012. If what we're doing in 2013 is just like 2012, then there's something missing. something's wrong. Now, if we have a striving heart or a striving mentality, or we struggle with striving, then we're going to look for that fix and how I might change it, rather than saying, all right, Holy Spirit, show me where I've changed. Show me where I've matured since 2012. This is now February of 2013. That's my point. How have I really matured? I'm doing less and resting more. Actually, in the power of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit, you can do more as you rest. But see, that's not understood unless we're in the power of the Spirit. Jesus went from being full of the Holy Spirit to walking in the power of the Spirit. And that's where disconnects can take place, because we get very comfortable in what makes sense to us and what we've done in the past. It's really true. I believe it's true. I believe that's what the scripture says. Oops. Use this really quickly. So, when I was thinking again, I've taught many scripture, many lessons, if you will, and preached on Luke 3 and 4 over the years, the many years, and I've seen the ebb and the flow of how things have gone. For those who've been here a long season, I've seen a fireballs ready to just jump and take a nation no matter what, and I've seen that go and settle into married life, calmness, and let's just be a little bit more sensible about these things. But you see, it should be different than that. And that's not for all people, but I've seen that at times. That's what I'm saying. That in this body, that we have to be very, very careful about, because the enemy's job is to steal our identity away and the revelation of our identity. And if he is able to do that, and especially in two people, let's say in a marriage, then there will be an agreement where people come into agreement and then things just make sense. And others are not receiving from the blessing that's received. That's why I'm suggesting in the Relentless Pursuit CDs and DVDs that we listen and go, speak to me again. I want everything. I want to hear what you said so that I can be joyful like Josiah. That I can be so filled with joy and peace that I can't stand myself, because I'm just overwhelmed with joy and peace in the midst of the struggles, in the midst. It's a prophetic laugh, let me tell you. It really is. He's saying, just listen. He says, I have made it easy for you. Except it's not easy walking it out. It's like, what? We have to fight, saints and sons and daughters. We have to fight. We are called to fight. We are called to raise up a standard and say, not on my watch, for myself, for my family, for my church, for my finances. Abraham fought for Lot and his family. Okay? We know that Gideon, he fought against the Midianites. He had to fight, but he really was not effective until he got over the fact that he was a weak coward, he thought. And then when the Lord said, no, you're a man of valor, when he took that, and when he said, yes, I am a man of valor, oh my gosh, strengthen me, oh God, then he was more effective as he fought the Midianites. You see, there are steps, there are progressive steps that God gives us. He says, you want to be effective? You want the anointing on your life to increase, to become a place of release of power? That's a whole nother enchilada. Release of power. When power comes upon and power is released, whoa, thieves run out of your house. I don't think he was scared of the name Jesus just because of the name Jesus. He was terrified of the presence of Jesus Christ, because in the name, there was so much power and release, powerful release. In the name of Jesus, you back off. I'm not afraid of your stupid gun, but if you don't know who you are and you try that, not a good idea. Not a good idea. I ministered to a pastor who took a scripture out of context. The scripture that's pastored this fall, and said, I have authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and snakes and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm me. And if I drink any deadly poison, nothing will harm me. So he went and he picked up a snake to prove it, and he got bit. I said, I bet you won't do that again. So if we don't understand the spirit behind the law, then we're going to become law-oriented, aren't we? And that's going to look like something in our intercession. It's going to look like something corporately in our intercession at home. It's going to look like something very specific. God is saying, I'm trying to get your attention that this is a new day. And if we have consecrated ourselves, that means we have set ourselves apart. So if we're smoking, we're going to decide, I'm not doing that anymore, because that stinks and that's vile and that's an addictive spirit that holds me. So therefore, I'm not going to play any more games. I'm going to do something about it. Or drinking, or sex, or drugs, or, you know, whatever it would be, or religious thoughts, or busyness, or you go down the list. It's where we decide enough is enough is enough. And see, Jesus had that posture when he went into the desert. And so when he was anointed by the Holy Spirit and his Father, and he said, this is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then at that point, at that very point, that love just overwhelmed, overtook him, and the anointing from heaven came upon him, filled him up with the Spirit. And then he was tried for 40 days and 40 nights, way beyond what any of us can even imagine, and came out filled with power. And the devil left and returned at an opportune time, but he had to leave. So he submitted himself to God. He resisted the enemy, and the enemy had to flee. Does it make sense? And see, when we have people around us who are struggling, if we start preaching, you know, here's what you need to do with a finger, that's not going to go very far. Jesus didn't do that. But he was extremely strong with his commands. And so when we look at the commands in the scripture, he would say to a woman caught in adultery, I love you, but go and sin no more. He's not kidding. He said, go, listen. Okay, I've taken the big guns off of you. Now, let's walk it out. It's not going to be a cakewalk or a walk in the park, but I'm with you, because there are some critters here that have messed around with you and you've invited them. Thank you very much. Or maybe something was done to you. So therefore, there are some things that have also pushed against you. I'd rather have you filled with my power than his power. So I'm going to help you with that. So the love that he gave her of just releasing her then led her into a place of amazement, saying, okay, I give. And then the awakening really continues. So there was an awakening that had happened at that point. So when God tells us to fight the good fight, let's look at 1 Timothy 6:12. Let's turn in our Bibles to that. We need to stand, and we need to stand together, and we need also to be able to say, I'm choosing to trust the people who have loved me and have cared for me so that I can hear something I might not be hearing. Because if I'm so set in my opinions, I may not rise to the place thinking that I have risen. And that is actually the most dangerous place to be, because that's extremely religious. This is what I think, and that is it. So what do you think about that? Whoa! Jesus has a word to say about that. And he says, if you want to be teachable and correctable, the way to really come into revelation is to go this direction. But if we think we're going this direction, which is lower, but we're really full of pride, that's a scary place to be. Because that's where the enemy pulls us away even more. And so you have to kind of know his tactics, and Jesus did. So that's why things worked out so well. I don't know if anybody can type this up in the back real quickly and just put it up there in the NASB. It's, you know, that might be helpful. 1 Timothy 6:12. I think that might be helpful. But I'll read what I have. It says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And that's a great, I love my King James Bible, but sometimes some of those words for some people are a little bit, they fall over them. But basically, the Lord is speaking to us about endurance. And he's saying, you run a race, but endurance is what I'm actually saying. I am calling you to come into a place of overcoming and not just taking up people's time all the time. Ooh. Overcoming means, it doesn't mean that we don't help each other, please. That's not compassion. But the point is that we, if we are truly overcomers, do you know? Okay, let me say it to the men. Men, if you are really an overcomer in particular areas, do you know that you will be able to look at the other men, see what they need, and then go after it? You will do it. And you won't have to get a call or a text or would you do this or would you do that. It will be something inside. Now, it's not saying that we can't alert one another. I'm not saying that. But there will be a sense that there's a need or something. And Lord, what can I do to facilitate? And women, I say the same thing to you. Why? Because the Spirit of God wants to trigger our hearts for the protection, let's just say, within our personal families and also our spiritual family. He wants us to know. Before any hammer comes down, he's giving us, let's say in a person's life, he's giving us clues that, it's not looking so swell right now. What do we do with that? Do we pass it along to someone else or do we do something about that? God is saying the passion that you have for the people around you, when it stems from insatiable desire for the beautiful one, it will cause a change. And it might be actually just in your own family to begin with, but then it should spill out. That's the nature. That is the nature of how God designed it for our safety and our protection. So do we have it up there? So we fight the good fight of faith. We take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So if we are continuing to do that, we run the race with endurance. Let me give you another scripture in James. And this would be James 1, 3, and 4. Let me start with 2, actually. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Count it all joy? Come on. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, we have to know the difference between trial and temptation. And we have to understand the root words here. So we see the word temptation here. Can you put that up, the NASB? Can you put that one up too and see what it says in that version? But I will tell you this, to make it really simple, that a trial is something that can come our way. If it's from the Lord, he's allowing us to walk through that. Do you know it's to better us? And it will bring something positive to us. A temptation is not from the hand of the Lord. A real temptation is from the enemy. Because why would the Lord tempt us with something sinful when all of our sin was nailed to the cross? Okay? That's why you need to know the difference and study the Greek meanings and the Greek words and such. Okay, but for us to understand the difference between trial and temptation for us is that if a temptation comes my way, I need to resist that with everything inside of me. If I don't have power flowing, I'm going to resist because I can speak in tongues? You've got to be kidding me. The enemy will laugh in your face. Why? Because some people equate being filled with the Holy Spirit that they're speaking in tongues. So therefore, I'm filled up with the Spirit. And evidence of being filled up with the Spirit is speaking in tongues. And it's a super-duper weapon. But that does not mean that you are filled up necessarily with the Holy Spirit. It's like, wow. So where does power come from? How do we walk in true power? Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Yes, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result. God has a plan. This is a very, very strong scripture. Let's look at it. Let's look at it real carefully. Just all eyes. Look up here if you can. And let endurance have its perfect or mature. The word perfect means mature. Mature result. So that you may be perfect and complete. That means that you will be walking in the revelation of someone who is mature. The Lord is saying, I can't let you stay as babies. If you think you're mature and you're still a baby, you're going to be hit over and over and over. And if you think you're mature and something just is exposed as another hurt, wound, hindrance from the past, as we call it, if we will get real with the Lord, maybe take some of those things and say, all right, Lord, I'm choosing to consider it all joy because I'm encountering a trial here. Well, a trial may take different forms. We may be going through a very difficult thing that the Lord is permitting us to go through for the exposure of something for a greater purpose, exposure of something in our life, exposure of something from our past, so that we can come into the revelation of what happened at the cross for that very thing. It already happened. It's already been done. It was nailed to the cross. Then why does it feel so hard? Because we don't have a walking, working revelation of it yet. So when we come into that, power is released. You see? And so these testings, God says, embrace testings that you know, or you're believing that God has set us up. He's Jehovah Sneaky. But he just never sets us up to fail. Never. And no, there's no temptation known to man that there's not a way of escape. So if you just want to do something because you want it so badly, okay, and you do it and go, this probably wasn't the best idea. Saying those kinds of things at this place that we are in isn't good enough anymore. It's probably not a good idea. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. The best thing to do is say, oh my gosh, I have started down a path and I agreed with the very one who hates me. So therefore, I repent and I say, Lord, I want a change of thinking in my mind so that I don't repeat that again. Forgive me. That's repentance. That kind of posture will actually bring a good result. Some of us go through the same things year after year after year after year. And some of them might be cyclical, as I mentioned last week or 2 weeks ago. They may be, well, this is what happens in the summertime. This is what happens at Easter. This is what happens. This is what happens. This is what happens. And the Lord says, that doesn't have to happen that way. What are you talking about? Where'd you get that? Well, someone told me. Well, they're wrong. Because it was crucified at the cross. So therefore, let's go back and apprehend what actually was released to me so that I have a walking revelation of that. Therefore, this thing is out. This is gone. Shoo. More place for power to come out. More place for virtue to be released. Let endurance have its perfect results so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. If we have a cry in our heart, Lord, you took all lack upon you for me. Therefore, there will be no lack in me. And whatever it takes, Lord, my eyes are on you. I am so desirous to walk in abundance, no matter what, because your name is abundance. Therefore, I'm not going to be looking at the lack. I'm going to be looking at abundance, because when my eyes are on abundant life, when my eyes are on the abundant one, when my eyes are on you, that stuff will just, it'll leave, and I won't be able to stand myself. I won't be able to stand myself in the areas where I've agreed with lack. That's what I mean by that. Because they will become stinky. It's like, I will not. I have not. And you know, that's not self-righteous. You're self-righteous. I probably have some lack. He understands my heart because I'm in process. That's self-righteous. Give me a break. I came here to be encouraged. That's self-righteous. Not that anyone's thinking that, but just to kind of Help us see. So we consider it all joy, when we encounter trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if we have faith for anything that we're contending for, everybody's contending for something or many things, whatever that faith really looks like, wow, if we're contending for a great outpouring of kingdom finances in our life and we're going through trials, yay, they won't just be in the financial area. They'll be in all kinds of areas potentially to be able to help release the various things that keep the power down, to be able to increase and walk in the supernatural abundance. You'll probably hear that in stewardship class. Isn't this great? This is a win-win situation for us. We cannot lose. We absolutely cannot lose. There's nothing but victory. When the Lord says, count it all joy, he's not saying, go ahead, suffer away, guys, and count it all joy. I'll help you through it, because I guess I'll pull you through. God, please help me. He's saying, excuse me? So this joy is not some fake, all right, I'm really joyful. No, this is inner joy that's produced through a consecrated lifestyle of prayer and fasting, being weapons that God gives us, but understanding them, because we can become so religious in doing that. And do you know that if we had stepped into some areas of prayer and fasting in the past and didn't really work for us, or we got sick all the time or whatever, it's probably the enemy trying to keep us from what's best. So I just don't do that anymore. I can't concentrate at work. I'm sorry, I just can't do it. Really? Then try a Daniel fast if you cannot. But even scientists, doctors will say, even one day without food, just drinking water, virtually, generally, most people can do that. If you have a health condition, you can try a Daniel fast. But if we condition ourselves to say, well, you know, when I fast, I just do Daniel. Come on, how many of us don't like vegetables and fruit? Do I think that's a lesser fast? I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when we go for what's easier because it's easier, rather than say, Holy Spirit, what are you really saying and doing right now? That's where the problem is, because we can kid ourselves. The Lord is saying, I want you to understand really what I have spoken and said and laid out in Scripture, and your communion with me as the beautiful one will start to unfold that in your life, and you will have a desire. He wouldn't tell us to pray and fast if he didn't, and then command it if he didn't think that this is something that we would love to do. If we hate it, I hate this, then there's probably something else. So that's a good reason to pray and fast, to find out, you know, why that's there. Because it's something that Jesus did. Jesus didn't do things he hated. Jesus did things he loved. That makes sense. So it's just our mindsets start to change. We start to think like he thinks. I just love it. He makes it. He clears up things for us. He shows us things that we can lay hold of, because we're going to fight the good fight. Let me give you a verse here. I wrote a couple of them down. And John 5:19, you can write that down. Jesus did only what he saw his Father do. And he cried out. And Matthew 6:16-18, the Bible says, when you fast, when you fast, when you fast. Okay. So does that mean that, all right, no, this is what I'm going to do, and then we're up, down, up, down, up, down? Come on. God is not looking for strivers. He's looking for lovers. But lovers, real lovers are not going to be a yo-yo, up and down and up and down and up and down. We'll try to step in. But real lovers will say, he's my lover. I'm struggling right now, but, you know, you're my lover. I'm your lover. I want to dance your dance. And I want to dance my dance, because this is a dance. And it takes two. It takes you and it takes me together. And so therefore, when the Scripture gave us a command, when you fast, God is giving us a clue. He's saying this is really extremely important to us. And I want to throw some thoughts out here. One thing that came to me yesterday that I wrote down, and I don't know a heck of a lot about it. I know some. But Oskar Schindler rescued 1,200 Jewish people, you know, back during the Holocaust. I mean, I know that much. I don't know exactly how all of that looked. I didn't see the movie, Yiddish Schindler's List. But it was interesting because he had such passion for the hurting people who were around him. He was a factory owner, and I know that he hired people, and you know, people were coming and going, and he hid Jews. But he was able to save 1,200. But the cry of his heart was, they're in the natural, they're going to lose their lives. And so he took a stand, and he said, I am going to waste my life on helping people. Now, I'm not speaking to where he was spiritually. I'm telling you what he did in the natural. But spiritually, the Lord says, do you want to see human trafficking eradicated? Do you want to see abortion ending? Do you want to see a nation saved in a day? And all these things. Yes, yes, and yes. The Lord will say, there is an atomic power available to you. And I want you to discover what that is. Because it will be as Mahesh Shabda says in his book, he said, it'll be like a rocket booster that just absolutely throws you into a whole new orbit and zone. It's like, wow, that's really amazing. And, you know, there were 6 million of these Jews that were killed. They were poisoned. They were burned. They were killed. They had medical torture, medical experiments. Acid showers were given to them. I mean, just horrible, horrible things, anything to really hurt them and steal them. But he spent his entire fortune that he made to buy lives. He spent all his money. It's like, wow, he wasn't the rich young ruler necessarily. See, God is saying for us to be able to lay hold, and we'll close with this, lay hold of the revival fire that's upon us, to lay hold of that, to see this place filled up, to see it busting at the seams, to be able to believe and dream for our next place, our next building, our next country, and all of that. It's going to take all hands on deck. But sometimes that word, that phrase, all hands on deck, has probably irritated people, because it sounds as though you want me to do something else. It's like, what? I don't think you understood the message. Michelle Perry gave it even before we had given it before she even said it. She said, all hands on deck. I think Mel did too. Because God's saying, I'm calling all of you. You've been here 1 year or you've been here 15. I'm calling all of you to decide what consecration will look like. I was really excited about the thought that here we have Schindler doing what he did. Here we have Wilberforce doing what he did, which we talked about last time I preached. Here we have Abraham Lincoln signing the Emancipation Proclamation 150 years ago, doing what he did. God says, in this house are world changers, supernatural history shapers and changers. But I'm telling you the truth. I don't care how good you are at your profession or your job or even whatever we do. If we are not moving in the supernatural realm that he's calling us to move in, we may be being stolen from, and we won't be moving as hard and as fast and as furiously. God's going to call some of us to take this message and rethink in his presence and say, what in the world was I thinking? What was I thinking? If we are if we have any habits of fixing people or fixing things, I need to fix it. I like to fix machines. I like to fix cars. I like to fix. Do you know, which is nothing wrong with fixing things. Hello, we need to fix our building here in different ways. Thank you, Carl. He's our man. And so there's nothing wrong with that. But we can actually walk in a fixing mentality, even with the people around us, and do something that appears to be from our heart. But our heart, the Bible says, is deceitfully wicked. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And yes, we are given a new heart. But if we're not working and living out of that, if that's an area that we've not tapped into fully, we don't have a revelation there, then actually we could be giving out of a lack in our heart, trying to fix something. And what we have to do when that happens is then step back and go, what was I thinking? But we can do a lot less, what was I thinking? Make fewer mistakes if we will humble ourselves and go a little bit lower in some of these areas. I'm challenged. I don't know about you, but I'm personally challenged for more. And I personally, quote unquote, do a lot. I do. And many of you do as well. So it's not about the doing, but I want to accomplish more. I want to be more effective for the kingdom. I want my life to be as effective as it can be right now, right here, with where I am, and then beyond that. And there are tools that God is giving us. And he's saying, get your tool bag out. Our son's got tools. Pastor Bill got them tools for Christmas. And in the natural, they need that to fix things. But God is saying, I have given you tools. Now, go and dig those out and ask me, which tools have I not seen to be able to use effectively to the place where I can? And which tools am I using effectively? Because he's all about people. He's saying, I want you to face people and pull them out and pull them out and pull them out. It's not so easy sometimes, but he says, I'm giving you a passion for souls. Josh wrote a song, give me a passion for souls. Let me cry out day and night. That passion will grow. That passion for souls will grow as our eyes are on the King and we're willing to give up more of ourselves. Do you know that? More and more and more. And when we cry out day and night, oh my gosh, do you know that actually is extremely scriptural? That's Luke 18. That's what we were saying. Cry out to me day and night, and I will release to you the justice that you're asking for. Will I withhold my hand? No. Cry out. The justice of God will look like something in the area of righteousness, people being brought into right standing, governments being changed, people taking authority in their own house, people saying no. When a family is moving this way and they're saying no, no, no. What are you saying, Holy Spirit? Well, isn't family a good thing? Of course. But what are you saying about this right now, Holy Spirit? And I'm willing to do what's hard. But I have a good heart and I'm trying. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, listen to me. Learn to hear my voice. And I may ask you to do things that will look differently than what you think. That's not anything new we've ever preached here. But I do believe 2013, there will be a change, a big change. And we will be used to help rescue, but we won't be used as fixers. We'll be used to help rescue and restore, release justice, see righteousness established more and more. Are you with me? Do you hear this? This is a cry. This is a cry from one of the generals. I'm one of the generals in this place. And I don't say that lightly. He's told Pastor Bill and I that. He said, tell them these things. That's not lording over you. That is telling you the truth. He's saying, there is a strategy. You've had dreams and visions. Now grab hold and walk in those. And if someone says no, you keep walking. Take them with you if they'll let you. But if they won't let you, you keep walking. And God will make things right in a way that are sometimes scary. But my life is living proof of that. When he said, keep your eyes on me and things will be okay. And I still am learning that, guys. I am more and more and more. I'm learning that more and more. The Lord says, don't be full of yourself. Go low. Take the humble road. And then you will be teachable, correctable. And when someone comes to you your first response will be, what can I do to help? Rather than, and this is a place of helpers. So I'm just speaking generally out. This is how Abraham thought. This is how Gideon thought. You see? These leaders that we can look to in the Old Testament, this is how Paul thought. But if the things I'm saying agitate you and annoy you, praise the Lord, count it all joy, because we're being stirred up. Because this is a time when God says, kids, I want to release to you so much power that you're going to see people in your family set free. You're going to be set free of some of the sicknesses and diseases that you still have that are there that you need to be delivered of. And you're praying for healing, and it should be deliverance of some things. They're not happening. Some things. And I believe that when power shows up, things will change. And there's a key and there's a way. And I believe that we've tasted of God's power. He saved my life. He gave me new lungs to give you this message. And so I have the fear of God. I want to say it the way he's giving it to me. And I'm excited about what God's going to do. So, Josh, do you have your guitar here? Could you play Passion for Souls on the keys? You know that, right? Since you wrote it? Or whatever. I can we put that up, guys? This is no wimpy song. Give me a passion for souls. Let me cry out day and night. Let this stir us today, because I believe the changes have already taken place in us as we've said, yeah. And we come into agreement with the yeah. Did you hear my words? When we come into agreement with the yeah. What? What's she saying? When we come into agreement with the yeah or the yes, right? Something happens. Which means we can say yes right here and not really mean it. That's what I'm saying. When we, the real we, me, comes into agreement with yes, 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 a renewing of the mind actually starts to take place. And there's another place where power is released from you into your children, into your spouses, into your family life, into your ministry, business, or whatever. We're going to talk more about, as these weeks go on, we're going to talk more about different methods. If anybody wants us to order one of these, let's see. Teresa, can you be my spokesperson here? If anybody wants their own copy of this, since it's a devotional, so that you can go through, it doesn't mean you have to fast 40 days. Okay? You can live a fasted lifestyle. You can. You can start with one day, but I would suggest you also reread The Hidden Power of Prayer and Fasting. That's amazing. So if you would like either one of those or both of those to add to your own arsenal that you could pick up on a day where you think, it's Wednesday, I think I want to fast because Lord, here are my reasons. Rather than me give you a list right now, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to allow you give you the privilege and allow you, if you will, to discover why. I can tell you why, but I think it's a place of discovery that Jesus found. And he's saying, I'm calling the hungry ones to that place. This is a place, I'm to close my part here. God is saying the revival fires for this region, for nations, they are upon us, folks. The fire is here. I have a holy fear of the Mighty One, and he's increasing right now. And he's saying, this is the time. If there's something that has hurt you, be it an addiction, be it something, be it something that keeps repeating, let's dump it today. There was a powerful deliverance before even words were spoke 2 weeks ago. Everybody was drawn up here because the Holy Spirit said, I'm going to deliver them. Jesus actually spoke that to me. And it's like, well, okay, what does that look like? I don't know. And there was a whole lot of deliverance I believe to be able to receive this message. I really do. But also, there is more. God can always take us and pull out other places. So if there's something else that God's been raising and exposing, let's just give it to the Lord, knowing, though, that the reign of His presence is here. The reign of the goodness of God is here. And He's saying, I am going to give you a passion for souls when you cry out day and night. Let's be on our feet and let's cry out for what we were created for, which is an insatiable desire for Him, which spills into a passion for souls. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. If any of you are feeling annoyed or agitated, come on up front. You probably need some help and need some deliverance. If anything is bugging you, it's like, I'm annoyed, I'm bugged. Come on up, we'll pray. We'll release that bugging. Yeah. Or you're feeling like, it just bothers me. There's just something here, I don't know what it is. Well, then come on up. This is what He does. He's God. So let's pray. Let's sing. Thousands are dying.
Give them Jesus. you'll set them free. The command is clear. The need is real. It's not about me. It's about them. Give me a passion for souls. Let me cry out day. For their lives, give me a passion for souls, oh God. Give me a passion for souls, let me cry out day and night for their lives. Give me a passion for souls, oh God. Give me a passion for souls, let me cry out day and night for the lives. Give me a passion for souls, oh God. And I know you will set them free. Go. You can change the world through me, and I know, you will set them free, oh, as I go. You can change the world through. I know that you will set them free as I go. You can change the world through me, and I know, oh my God, you will set them free. I go. You can change the world, change the world through me. Give me a passion for souls, let me cry out day and night for their lives. Give me a passion for souls, oh God. A passion for souls, let me cry out day and night for their lives. Give me a passion for souls, oh
God. As we continue to sing this song, if anyone feels as though there needs to be a restirring in their life for intercession and fasting, not necessarily even understanding what that might look like, but yet there's this desire that started to just turn for an increase, a change in thinking, just come on up. I just want to lay hands on you. I want to bless you. I want to offer a word of encouragement. That I believe God's going to take us into another place where there's going to be a release over. Just come all the way across the front if that's you. Lord, I want to move in this direction, and I want to take a step towards what belongs to me so I can understand more and more what it looks like for your power to be released through me in a way that maybe I've not understood, or I would like an increase in some way beyond where I am, so that it's not the law, but it's understanding the true way to work in the arsenal of heaven, with the arsenal of heaven, from a point of grace. So if that's you, just come on up as we just continue to sing out. Just sing out about souls and whatever God puts on your heart. And I just want to bless you and bless you and bless you. So I'm assuming that anybody that's up in the front, that's what you're asking for, is, Lord, I want an increase in that area to understand, increase in desire and understanding.
I need
need you more. I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you. I need you, Lord. I want you, Lord. More of your heart. More of your heart. Just as you lay down yours. spirit within me. God, this place in my heart, prepared for you, prepared for you alone. Oh God, beyond my understanding, it's prepared for you, it's prepared for you alone. Beyond my comprehension, oh, it's prepared for you. Prepared for you alone. So come into your garden. Oh, come into your garden. Oh, come into your garden. Oh, come into your garden. it's you and me alone, God. It's you and me, it's you and me alone. You hedge me in, oh, with skin all around. But my heart is the place of your rest, is the place of your rest, it's the place that you choose to rest. Oh, it's prepared for you beyond my comprehension, oh, beyond my understanding, a place where you Son of Man, when you were on the earth, you said you didn't have a place to rest your head, and then you died and rose again. And now my garden is your place of rest. So come and rest, come rest in this place in my heart that I prepared for you. Give me a passion for souls.